Hopefully you have your Bibles tonight, and we're going to be in Exodus chapter 17. Hardships come to all of us from time to time. But I want to let you know sometimes those hardships are because we create them. Sometimes we are in an environment where things happen and we are just part of that environment, or we are around other people, and sometimes that falls upon us because we are with those people, whatever it may be, but we will find ourselves in hardships or in times of need in our lives more than once, and sometimes it seems like it's a lifetime for, and we're in just hardship all the time. God has brought his people out of hardship and taken them out of that slavery moment, that slavery time, and made a promise to them to take them to a promised land. When they were freed and they were let go, God put it upon the Egyptians to give them all kinds of supplies and gold and silver and tools and everything else, and pretty much they gave everything to them. And then they were en route to leave. They come up on some problems, and we're going to look at this moment here in Exodus, another moment where they come up on a problem. We're going to read in verse 1. We're going to start there in Exodus chapter 17. The entire Israelite community left the wilderness of Sin, moving from one place to the next according to the Lord's command. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink, so the people complained to Moses, "Give us water to drink." "Why are you complaining to me?" Moses replied to them. "Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water and grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you ever bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? In a little while they will stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the leaders, or some of the elders of Israel with you. Take the staff you struck the Nile with in your hand and go. I am going to stand there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. When you hit the rock, water will come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the rock Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites complained, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So we see a spot here where they come up again. Once again, they come up. There are previous chapters you will see where the same people continue to go from problem to problem to hardship, back to problems to hardship, back to problems. Many of these hardships and problems they created themselves. Some of those seemed to be legit, but didn't quite know how to handle it. But they chose some ways to do it in a way that we are supposed to learn not to do it. But this starts off here with the people that God rescues. God tells them they are to move from one place to another, and it was according to the Lord's command. I want to tell you right now, we struggle listening to the Lord and his commands. We struggle listening to what God has for us. God tells us a lot of things in this book, and we choose to do it a different way. And then we wonder why things don't work out. We wonder why we have problems. Now, in this world, I will tell you this, people that don't know the Lord will have problems, and they have problems. But people that know the Lord will have problems too. We're going to see how to work these things through. But God has called us to listen to him, to follow his commands. The problem is, you have the same problem as some of these people do. The problem is, we don't want to listen to God's command. We want to do what we want to do. We want to do a little bit of God's command, but we want to put in our way of doing things. I'm going to remind you of this, and I say it all the time. One day, when I'm not pastor here, you'll be like, "Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so glad we don't have to hear it again." But I'm going to say it this, And I look in the mirror and I say to myself, Jimmy, you're not as smart as you think you are. And I want to tell you tonight, you're not as smart as you think you are. You really are not. Because if you are, you will seek God on every decision that you do. Every decision that you make, on the choices that you make, you will seek the Lord. You may seek Him on some things, but I'm pretty sure that you probably don't seek Him on all things. We need to continue to remember to seek the Lord on all things and listen to His command. But He says that they were moving from one place to another as they were supposed to do, but they camped in a place and there was no water. So there's no water. We have to live off. We need water and we need food to survive. They have no water. I want to imagine to you, though, right now that they are very quick to pull the trigger. I think that these people, when it wasn't in their convenience, they were upset. I don't think they were going 3 days without water at this moment. I just think, hey, I'm thirsty. We don't have no water. I mean, I just think that they were just people that wanted to have their things right now. Kind of like us Americans. We want things. We want it right now. But here we find out, we see that the people here, what they do is they go to Moses and complain to him. That's what we do. We want to complain about what we don't have. And we will find somebody as long as they will listen. Now, Moses, I want to remind you, there's a million so people in this group. Not that they all just came at him at once, but people came to him and began to complain. Now, this message is a lot about us overall as people, but also as leaders. And sometimes people say, well, I don't have a leadership position, so I don't really need to listen. Listen, you never know what God is doing in your life. He is setting you up for future parts to be a leader. He is wanting to you as a leader to grow. So there are some things in here about leadership that we all need to grasp on tonight. So there are some other things with that as well. But I want to remind you, when we have problems, most of us want to blame somebody. And so leadership is who people blame. So they want to blame. I do want to let you know, sometimes people's complaints are legit. They can be a complaint, but you have to be cautious, and we're going to learn how to deal with that. So here we have people that are complaining, and they all want to run to Moses. Now I want to remind you that there were some things that Moses did prior to this. There was the Red Sea, and God opened that up so they can cross. There was some more time when they wanted to come up, and they were thirsty, but the water was bitter, it was sour, it was not good. God says, throw this tree log in there, and then it becomes good water. And so there was times when these people just, previous chapter, they were complaining because they want some meat. This is a very complaining group of people. And you know how much I want to be around complaining people? Zero. You're probably like me. You've got enough going on in your life, you just don't want to hear people complain. Right? Amen? Until it's you. Right? We want to complain. We want somebody to hear our complaints. Okay? And so here it is. Moses is going to hear the complaints. That's what people do. They go to leadership. Whether it's in the home, I'm going to go dad, I'm going to complain about my sister, I'm going to complain about this or that. Mom goes and complains to dad, whoever it is. We all find somebody to complain to. And we have to find somebody to complain about and point fingers. But Moses has a response. He says, why are you complaining to me? Right? Moses replied to them, why are you testing the Lord? He knew what this was about. They want to come and complain to Moses about not having water. But Moses says, why are you complaining to me? I want to remind you, how many of you all have seen a miracle in your life? If you are saved, you have seen at least one. If you've seen loved ones you thought would never come to Christ, you've seen another. Some of you have been gifted enough, and God's grace and mercy has shown you another miracle in your life. Maybe that you had a full-blown addiction out of control and God saved you and you have left that life and you are good to go. That is a miracle by God, because if you could have done it, you could have done it on your own. But we can't do those things on our own. Okay? So some of you have also seen the dead rise. You saw other things happen in your life. Those are miracles of God. Those are movements of God that only God can do. These people saw more than most of us will see in our whole life. This generation of people saw miracles that would blow people away, that would blow us away. seeing the Red Sea open up and being able to be a part of it, not just being observers, but to participate into the miracle and walk across it as on dry land. That doesn't even include the plagues that were back in Egypt. They've seen miracles. They've seen miracles one after another. But Moses says, why are you testing the Lord? If you've seen miracles, so let me just ask you this. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have salvation, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, you have that, then you have another family member that you're like, I'm just not so sure if they're ever going to come to the Lord. Why? Why do we feel that God cannot reach out and break the hardest of hearts? Why do we put limits on God? Why do we put restraints on our faith in God? These people were testing God. They were testing as they were coming to complain to Moses about not having water. But the people, they thirsted for their water. That's what we do. We thirst, we want our fix, whatever it is. And then, not only were they complaining, Scripture says that they began to grumble. Grumbling means, you have a complaint, I'm going to come, you have a complaint, hey, man, my food wasn't hot, I got the wrong meal, and I need to get the right meal, and so they fix it. Grumbling means, when you get the new meal, you go back and you keep talking about it. You talk about how bad that place was. You talk about how bad the service was. You talk about how bad the food was, and you haven't even tasted it yet. That's what grumbling is. And just keep on being negative. Just keep on being negative. And just keep grumbling. Grumbling draws others. You know, we're more drawn to negativity than we are positive things. Because you know what's behind the negative? Gossip. News that other people don't know about. Jumping on the bandwagon. You know why we don't get all up in more of the positive part? Because we're wondering why the positive is not happening to us. And why is the blessings coming to you? Why is it coming to me? We struggle with sharing our positive experiences. We struggle with that. Because when we see others be blessed, we are tempted to become jealous. But these people grumbled. And now they're almost forgetting what the complaint about, what the complaint was, and they begin to grumble. What did they say? They said, why in the world, that's my words, why in the world, right? Because we always want to exaggerate. But why'd you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So basically, what'd you do? Bring us out here to die of thirst? Well, they just had a moment a couple of chapters ago where God took care of that same thing. Now, what is unique about this? This isn't the last time they're going to complain about water. This is the complaint that they complain about more than anything. Water, 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 and water. Now, Moses gets in a little trouble in the future, but let me remind you. What I love, I'm going to give you a side point about how much God loves his people and how God, when he forgives. Now, Moses, when he got in trouble, and then at the end, when he sinned to get the water out of the rocks, he paid a price. There were consequences. He didn't get to go in the promised land. But I also want to remind you that when we are forgiven with the Lord, it's forgiven. Now we go up thousands of years later, Jesus is on the mountain at Transfiguration, and guess who's there? Moses. So I just want to let you know as a side note that if you can get your heart right with God, it's all right, okay? So here it is. They want to complain about it. They want to say, you bring us out here, and this is not their first time, and this will not be their last time. Don't be like these people who complain their whole life. Their whole life they complained. They complained their whole life. They didn't get to experience the full blessing that God had in store for them. It took their children. They just didn't get it. They were too busy looking with their eyes all the time. Everything was about the flesh. But they complained to him. And so people are sometimes going to just... When things get hard, people want to turn around and go back to where they started from. It's kind of like the old joke. This guy began to swim across this lake and he gets halfway across. He looks around and goes, man, I'm tired. I think I'm going to turn around. Did you get what I just said? He swims halfway across the lake. He gets tired. He says, I think I'm going to turn around and go back. Because the rest of it looks harder because he hasn't been there yet, but the previous has already been through that. Let's go back and let's do that. But the problem was he was already halfway there. These people are more than halfway there if they do it God's way. They would have been there a lot sooner. This is why some people in church membership never get past the pew. They never get off the pew. Okay? They're too busy. I got problems. Listen, everybody has problems. Honey, never let me be a person that complains when I get 65, 70. All I want to do is complain about my body. I don't want to do that. You see, even when we get older, we can complain. Even when we get 50, there's problems that we have because our bodies fall apart. I just called a man I'm not sure how long he's going to live. He's one of my mentors. He never complained. I had to get it from his wife and another pastor friend of mine, really, what's going on. Because what does he want to do? He wants to tell Jimmy, anybody coming to the Lord up there? Tell me what's going on up there. Tell me what's going on up there. Tell me, is anybody coming to Jesus up there? You're getting our financial support? Hey, Doc, how you doing? I'm all right. Doc, how you doing? Well, I got cancer, but it's okay. Friend of mine had cancer. And basically, someone called him up and just basically said, "Oh, I heard you got the little C." And because he was getting discouraged and depressed, he said, his friend said, "I heard you got the little C." What do you mean the little C? You got cancer, man. The big C is Christ, and He triumphs. How do you know that? Because I had the little C too. You see, we can let our problems define us. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, Jesus will cast a bright light on that shadow and let those aches and pains, yeah, you got them. We all get them from time to time. We have setbacks, we have hardships, but let's start trying to bring Jesus more into those things and we'll think less of those things. But some people, that's all they want to focus on. And so they said, what'd you do, bring us out here to die? Won't we just go back? The grumbling was so bad that Moses went out to the Lord and what did he do? He didn't talk to the Lord. He didn't pray. So he was praying, but he didn't. The scripture said that he cried out. When you cry out to God, you got a problem. The people complained. They had a problem, but the people complained to Moses. Moses didn't complain to the Lord. It might look like he did, but the Bible says he cried out. I've got a problem. Moses knew what to do. He didn't go to people. He went to God. Did you catch that? People go to people. Now, there's times when we need to go to people. We need to share some things. We need to work some things out. But we should always go to God. We need to be encouraged from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes things are a little bit more than we can handle. The Bible says we are to, share our burdens with one another. We are to do that. But we need to be going to God. We need to cry out to God. Moses cries out to the God, what do I do with these people? That's the best thing that Moses could have done. What do I do with these people? What do I do? What do I do? Some of the best prayer times that you can have is, Lord, what do I do? Lord, what do I do? I'm not sure what to do. If I ask you a question, hey, would you like a Pepsi or a Mountain Dew? You know what you're going to say? You're either going to say, I'll take the Pepsi, I'll take the Mountain Dew, or no, that's okay. Or maybe you got a water, I'll take a water. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to answer me. Right? When we talk to the Lord loves to answer. But the problem is our prayers don't have enough question marks in it. It's okay to ask God a question. And sometimes when you're in your most biggest pain, you're going to struggle, you're going to cry out to God, and you're going to ask a question. Lord, what do I do? How do I get through this? My heart is broken. I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand. Why did this happen to my family? Why is she going through this? Why is he going through that? I don't understand. Lord, I don't understand. I'm telling you, that's what it means to cry out. And you get into it like, I don't get it. You know what you're doing? You're spending time with God. You're spending time with the one that created the earth, the universe, that knows more about mankind than anyone else would ever know through all history. It's the creation talking to the Creator. And you are exactly in the right place where you need to be. And Moses is in the right place where he needs to be. And he cries out to God, what should I do with these people? And then what happens? We begin to throw in our personal opinions. Okay? I do it too. But he says, in a little while, they're going to stone me. Now, we don't know if that's what they were going to do, but that's what he saw. That's what he saw. And Moses has been with these people for a little bit now, and he knows how hard they can be. These people in scriptures have always been called the rebellious ones. Always been called the rebellious ones. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I'm sure almost in most families there's a rebellious one. Somewhere in the whole family there's a rebellious one. When you find one that's rebellious, one, if they know the Lord, they're always hit and miss. They're always a hit and a miss. If you have one rebellious in your family, they always seem to be the ones that's in the family strife and the family arguments. Somehow. Don't take it as it's always 100%. But you'll always find people that are rebellion with rebellious spirit. They have always got things going on, and most of them are not good. So Moses comes to this place, and he says, they're going to stone me. What do I do? What do I do? You see, in these moments, we begin to forget what God has done. If God has cleared that water, the Red Sea to walk across, he's done these places. Moses knows more than anyone. He also saw some miracles at the burning bush, and the burning bush itself was a miracle. So I just want to let you know, even though you may have seen several miracles, doesn't mean you might not have moments of doubt, might not have moments of unsurety. You're still a good Christian, still going to call out to the Lord. Just because you've seen miracles don't mean you know everything. But he says, what should I do with the people? In a little while they're going to stone me. And this is what it is. When we ask the Lord answers. The Lord answered Moses, go ahead. Go to the people. And this is what he says. Take some elders with you. Not time to be a lone ranger. God's going to show up and he's going to bring forth water. And so it's going to be another example of God's miracle with witnesses. Leaders. Bring some elders with you. I wonder if some of those elders were the complainers. Doesn't tell us that, but I almost want to assume that. A few, maybe. Bringing in elders so that they can learn and see also that God provides. Bringing in some leaders that they might share in the praise. Of what God has done. So they walk through and they do that, and he takes the staff and he strikes the rock and water comes out. But we see no praise. We see no thank you, God. I think that happens with a lot of us. We ask God to fix something, and when he does, we don't praise him. We're too busy taking in the blessing. Everybody's lining up to get this water. Wasn't it Jesus who said, I thought there were 10? And one comes back to thank him. And Jesus says, where's the other 9? Missed an opportunity to praise God. But we got our blessing. But God loves his people. He's going to keep working with them. But what we see is this moment here coming to this peace. The people begin to drink, and Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel so that everybody can see that God is the provider. And he named the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites complained and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? That's not a good name to have as a remembrance. They wanted to know if God was with them or not. Of course he is. He's been with them since before they even left Egypt. The day that you came to Christ, you thought Christ was meeting you there for your time of opportunity for salvation. But he was already there prior to other people praying for you that you would come to Christ. There was already work being done. God is already working in people's lives for salvation, for a time, an opportunity to change a life, to receive a life, eternal life. But what we see here is people come up to a place and they have no water. Do you not think that God is short on water? God was already there. But they didn't trust God. They didn't think he could bring forth what they need. We do the same thing. We don't think that God is going to bring forth what we need. You know what we need right now? We need more stronger leaders in our church. Our leaders are becoming tapped out. They've got a full plate. Most leaders in our church are doing more than most churches in their leadership. And these leaders that we're doing are doing 2 or 3 things that are a lot. There's a lot going on. But I also want to let you know that I'm sure there are some good prayer warriors in this church that's doing work that others don't even see that because they think all the work is done here in the church. You used to have a prayer warrior that would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning every morning, 2:30, 2:15, something that I can't remember. It's in my journal. But she'd wake up every morning because she'd go to bed super late. And she'd say, oh, Pastor Jimmy, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the church. Now, she's gone with the Lord now. But I want to tell you, don't you? I believe her prayers were part of us moving forward, being blessed. By the way, Eddie, that was Ruth. She's not with us any longer. I want to remind you that if you're part of this church now, there were people prior to this church that were big prayer warriors. But leadership is important. And so we should always be reminding each other, one another, that, hey, we need to thank God for that. Hey, can we stop right now and give praise to God? The people had a need and they complained. Instead of calling out to God, getting on their knees where they were and just say, praise God. God, we have a need. I remember what you did when we walked across the Red Sea. I remember what you did on that first Passover. Wow. I heard the night cries of all the death through the whole land. But our house, the death angel passed over. Thank you. Thank you for giving us bitter water and turning it into drinking water. Thank you for the meat, but we complained and we shouldn't have. Instead of praising God, saying, this is so. I got to close out, but I want to let you know something. This is a deep piece if you can handle it. We don't like to be in the desert when we have a need. Because what's really awesome in the desert is there's no wells to run to. This was a missed opportunity. Turn around and go back. We know where we can go and get water, but there's a cost. You become slaves. You won't become slaves. They would put them to death. This is a missed opportunity. Because when you are in a time of need, we are not called to test God, because we are the ones being tested. When you are in the desert and you know that you are thirst for something, and you need that something, or you are not going to make it. For such as us, Sven and I talk about finances a lot, about funding. We need funding to keep things going. Yesterday she was on the phone and someone had a budget of over $9 million. That'll make you sweat. Our budget's not near that. But what happens when you are in the desert and you are in need of something and you know that you are in need? This is going to sound bad, but I want to tell you, I love that place. There's a part of me that, like, I get nervous and I get a little bit, my hands get a little sweaty, but I kind of like that place. Because what happens is when the need gets so strong and you're like, I don't know what to do, you're not looking at the wells around you anymore. You begin to look at the well. And you know that you need something that if you get a little bit over here, it's only going to last for a moment. You get a little bit over here, it's only going to last for a moment. You go to the well. Can I tell you that things change when you go to the well? The woman at the well. Jacob and that well. Wells are a very unique piece in Scripture. They would fight over wells. But when you get to the well, you know what's in a well? There's a pail and a rope. You got to take it down so you can bring it up. When you go to the well, there is no pail. Because there's none coming up. It's coming down. And when you get to the well and you're there and you know the well is not actually a physical well, but it is the Lord Himself. And you get before the well and you drop down and you begin to cry out what the need is. And you begin to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And that is exactly where God wants you to be. I don't know what to do. And then God begins to work. This is why I struggle with fundraising, because I know in the very beginning God said, I will supply. Remember this, I will be your supplier. Now there are parts that I'm learning that God expects you. You can't go out one day in the back of your yard and go, where's my garden, if you don't till it and you don't plant any seed. But regardless, if you plant, you till it and you plant the seed, remember this, God gives the rain, He gives the sunshine, and He gives the growth. So you got to do what you can do in your part. But I want to remind you, when you're in that place where you don't know what to do and you are at the well, don't think it's the worst place to be. Sometimes it's the place where you meet Jesus and you get very personal and intimate and all the junk goes off. And you get real serious because you understand He knows and He is going to make a move. And what you're going to get is what? And you're going to get an answer to prayer. Can I tell you, an answer to prayer is always a miracle? Because an answer to prayer is something you can't fix. I don't ask God to tie my shoes because I've been taught at a young age to tie my shoes. Actually, I double knot my shoes just to make sure, because as a kid, they always came off. I don't need help with that. That's something I've learned. But there are things in my life that's in front of me that I know that I cannot do. That without God, it's never going to get done. And he's asking us, even as a church, to walk across a desert where there is no physical whales, to trust him that he will provide. And I want to ask you this, you that have been part of New Life Fellowship for a while, has he ever let us down yet? No. Have we got thirsty? Yes. There's no room for complaining. If you want to complain, get before God. And I've done it before. You complain, but I will tell you this. When you complain before God, it will not be long. It will not be long in your conversation and complaining that the Holy Spirit will hit you upside your thick skull and remind you that God is in control. And the next thing you know, you'll find yourself repenting. I've done it. Lord, I'm sorry. How can creation speak to the Creator like I just did you? Forgive me of that. My problems is not as big as I thought they were. And then the phone rings 5 minutes later, and a person gets on the phone and says, Pastor Jimmy, you guys have a house. When you get it right with God, it's all right. And then God just sprinkles more some on you. Some of you are in the desert right now trying to figure out where you're going to get water. Some of us have walked out of it and, man, that's great, but you know what? The desert's long. You'll be there again. You'll be there again. That's why it says in Hebrews, there's a great cloud of witnesses that are rooting for us. Challenge you to read that. We're not in this alone. We're going to close it tonight. We're going to imagine tonight that this is a big well. And you have the opportunity to come up to the well and kneel before the well, being Jesus, and tell him what's going on. There's nothing our Lord cannot handle. He has handled every one of your problems and then some for thousands of years. But you got to go to the well. Father, we're getting ready to take a moment here to respond to small group tonight, but whatever you'd have, maybe your Holy Spirit, be pleased tonight on how we respond in whatever way you want, that we might fulfill the will that you have for us individually and as a group. And we ask it and we give you this time in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.